Everybody pick up your hymnal. Let's turn to page number 139. Page 139.
Well, good morning. It is a beautiful day. Inside, kind of a little bit nasty outside. Last night it was raining. It was 31 degrees. I figured we'd get up this morning and everything would be iced over and a little bit of ice in the trees up there in North Garland County, but the roads were fine and everything. So warmed up to a blistering 35 on the way down here. And I hope your air conditioning is working good. It's good to be here, though. Georgia puts up these pictures of the snow. I guess that's to remind us it's winter, right? Well, there's a lot of folk that are sick and not able to be here. The choir's kind of skimpy this morning. Y'all going to have to sing loud then. That's all you need.
You're out of luck.
So, I'm glad y'all are here. All right, a few announcements this morning. Next Sunday morning will be our special offering for Brother Walter. So, Brother Walter continues to battle health issues and doctor bills and all these things. He needs your prayers very much, and also your support. We appreciate everything you've done, and I know he does as well, but come prepared to help him what you can next Sunday morning, second time the plate's passed. Then Saturday, February the 23rd, I did remember. Russell, where you at, Russell? I'm not getting in trouble.
Yet.
VBS seminar at Northern Hills Baptist Church, 6000 Sammy Lane, Texarkana. Welcome is 8:15. No seminar in Little Rock this year. So if you're going to the seminar, I'm looking at you. You got to go the 23rd. Or I think maybe there's one later in Pine Bluff if you want to go to Pine Bluff. But so I don't know why they're not having one in Little Rock this year, but they're not. Then March 3rd, we're going to have a guest speaker, Brother Raymond Foster. He is the director of the MBSF over in Malvern, College of the Ouachitas. He's going to come and talk to us about the work they're doing there and also to give us the sermon that morning. So if you're not familiar with the MBSF, it's an outreach to college students that gives them a place to go. It was started for our work when they'd go off to college somewhere, give them an anchor back to our belief and faith and support group. It's a good work. They're scattered around different places, so I encourage you to come and hear what they're doing there and the needs that they have. We've got several that we've been talking about, needs of mission support, if you will. God has freed up some monies here. And so we're praying and seeking God's guidance in how he wants us to distribute these funds. So be in prayer about that. And come to the business meeting. You'll get a lot more information. But plan on being here the 3rd to hear Brother Raymond. All right, this morning, nursery attendants, Cindy and Jerry. Next Sunday, Sam and Donna. Are there any other announcements? Valentine's candy back there on the back table. Thanks, Russ and Georgia. For those of us that's too cheap to buy it ourselves, for our wives, I guess. Anyway, he's trying to help us stay out of trouble, guys. That's what it is.
Page number 62.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Shall
Everybody out on this nasty, rainy Sunday morning. But there's just no better place to be than in God's house, I'll tell you right now. With God's people, God's music, and we're going to hear a wonderful message from Brother Sam here in just a little bit. We're going to slow things down for you this Sunday morning. I'm not going to do one of my regular jazzed up choir specials, but we're going to do a good one. It's entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus.
will tell you, we have a treat this morning. Brother Travis is going to do a special for us this morning. I believe this is one you wrote, isn't it, Travis?
No.
See, Travis is a copyrighted. I got so cold yesterday at Amity. My lips are still not working right this morning. But Brother Travis is a copyrighted writer of songs. Does a wonderful job. He's got quite a few songs in different convention songbooks and things. And we're just really proud of him. And it's quite a treat to have Brother Travis singing for us this morning. Amen. Come right ahead, Brother Travis.
If he said all of that, the job is I'm probably going to do. I'll be two different ones. Anyway, I appreciate getting to try the song. I like this one, and we don't get to sing it together too much. And Your Grace Still Amazes Me.
Thank you, Brother Travis, for that beautiful special. Special shout out to Georgia, too. I want to just say thank you for the great job you do. I mean, I call her and I say, I need you to add this. And she does the bulletins and she does the computer and she does all this stuff. And I appreciate you very much. And give her a hug and tell her thank you. All right, it's good to be here this morning, and it is kind of a dreary day outside, and I know we've got folks sick, and the weather's inclement, and all that stuff. We got people traveling and whatnot, but I can't think of a better place to be than in the house of the Lord today. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here, and God will bless you for the effort of getting here, and I desire your prayers as I attempt to preach this sermon this morning, and we're going to get to 1 John chapter 4 here in a little bit. I don't know if you're aware really of what goes into getting prepared to preach a sermon. I know that I've listened to preachers and pastors over the years preach sermons, and they've done a great job. But until I got up here on this side of the pulpit, you don't really understand what goes into preparing. A lot of prayer and a lot of thinking and seeking. And this last week, I mean, you think about it, we have Bible studies, and you know, Sunday night we do a Bible study, Wednesday night we do a Bible study, and they're great. And by the time, you know, you prepare to teach those and to lead those, and then you have to get ready to preach a sermon. And sometimes, you know, anyway, as I was trying to get ready to preach this morning, I always want to seek God's guidance. I never want to get up here and preach except what the Holy Spirit leads me to. And so it's a process that you go through to get ready. So, you know, I'm going through the process. I'm sitting in my office. I'm praying, and I'm looking through the Bible, and I get to thinking about what all has happened in the last year. There's been a lot in the world, in our nation, and even in our church that has went on in the last year. So you get to thinking about all that, and then you get to thinking, well, what all have I preached in the last year? Well, there's been several sermons and lessons through the last year, and so you get to thinking about this, and then you get to asking God, really, what do you want me to preach? That's what I want to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. So how do you pick a subject? How do you pick a scripture? What do we preach on? Do we preach on how to be saved? I mean, we've preached on that, obviously, several times in the last year, and we know, and at least most of us do, and if you're not here, let me just tell you very plainly that you're saved by the grace of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. But we preach sermons about this, and if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd be glad to sit down and talk to you about that, and any number of other people will hear. It's the biggest, greatest decision you will ever make in your life, and it has eternal consequences. But is that what you want me to preach about this morning, God? Well, what about how do I act after I am saved and when I'm a Christian? We've preached about a lot of that in the last year. You know, I mean, we the Bible tells us that we take up our cross daily and follow Him. It's a daily walk in this Christian life. We've preached about that. We've preached about why we come to church. Why do we come to church? Well, there's a lot of reasons to come to church. One of the reasons that we come to church is because God told us to. Forsaking not the assembling of yourself together. We also come to church so that we can charge our batteries, and it helps us get through the week. I'll just tell you, I don't know how I'd make it through the week if I didn't come on Wednesday night, you know. And so we could preach about that, or, you know, we could preach about our finances. I mean, I'm not afraid to talk about money. I'm not afraid to talk about tithing. I believe in tithing. The Bible teaches tithing. If you're not tithing, I would encourage you to do that if you want to please God. Give. Freely from the heart. We've talked about tithing. I've preached a sermon on that. I know I talk a lot of time about the condition of our nation and its government. You know, our nation is in a mess, and the government is corrupt. And saying all that, I still know that God formed this form of government that we have, and it's still the greatest nation in the world. So, I mean, I could preach about that again. But is that really what God wants me to preach about? Homosexuality, it's a big deal. And by the way, it's still a sin, just like God said it was in the Bible. And by the way, a big deal now that's going around, we've talked about a little bit lately, is abortion. And some of the things that are coming out of some of the state legislatures are absolutely repulsive, terrible. We can talk about, let me just say this, abortion is murder. And if you don't like that, then you've got a problem with what God says, and it's not a problem with me. You get to thinking, though, and you're sitting there and you're praying and you're seeking God's guidance and all the things that are going on, and it just seems really surreal, heavy, you know, when you think about all this. So, God, what do you want me to preach? I want to be uplifting. I want to be an uplifting sermon, you know, that tells people. So what do you preach with all the heavy stuff that's going on? Well, sometimes we preachers have a tendency to preach on what we're studying. So if we're not careful in this process, we'll get to thinking back to our Sunday night, Wednesday night sermons, and if we're not careful, we'll be drawn to that. And, you know, we've covered all that. We've covered a lot of what I just said in some of our Bible studies on Sunday night and Wednesday night. So I encourage you to come to a time of that. So I don't want to sound like a broken record. I don't want to get up here and everybody out there say, well, you just preached about that the other day, preacher. Well, I want you to know something, that I do the very best that I can when I get up here behind this pulpit to preach what God has laid on my heart. And if that might happen, the same subject might come up more than one time in a, I don't know when, to the best of my ability, that's not my fault. That's what God wants me to preach. You're just going to have to deal with it. But I don't want to just preach about what we've studied, because, you know, those folks that come on Sunday night and Wednesday night, boy, you really get to thinking that's all he wants to talk about, you know. So what do, preacher? How do you decide what to preach? Well, read God's word and pray and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And, oh, by the way, that's what each and every one of you should be doing as well. Amen. Read God's word and pray and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he will lead you to the truth. And he will lead you in the direction that he would have you to go. So, that's what I try to do. That's all I want to do, is do what God wants me to. Thursday night, you know, the day after Wednesday night, we've had a really, really good Bible study, right? Those of y'all that were here. I was going through the process, and quite frankly, I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Sometimes it can get that way. I desire your prayers. I need your prayers as we go forward. But I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed when God spoke. Yeah, I'm not crazy. I know God don't speak audibly. But God does speak when we seek him. Okay? If God ain't speaking to you, let me tell you something. You're not seeking God, because he wants to talk to you. Okay? And here's what God said. In my mind, as clear as you are in my vision, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he. If you go back up to the beginning of, I looked up the scriptures in John chapter 4, verse 4. And it says this, ye are of God, little children. He's talking to us, friend, born again believers, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, no matter what issue you're dealing with today, no matter what's going on in this world, no matter what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow, or next week, greater is he that is in you than anything that's going to happen, has happened, is ongoing, greater is He. I want to go back up to the first verse in that chapter, and I want to start right there, and I want to go down through there, and I want to break it down. I don't ever want to take anything out of context. So if you just take that one scripture, you need to go back and get it into context. And so I want to do that this morning. I want to do my due diligence. And I want you to know that no matter what, though, God is greater than all. Amen. 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 Verse 1, chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, here we go again, preaching without notes. I don't know how long this is going to last. We may be here for a while, because when I got into this, I really got to thinking, you know, in the world today, we are confronted with all manner of ideas, thoughts, beliefs, religious systems that man can't imagine. Have you ever thought about that? Religion in the world today is everything that man can imagine in his sinful mind. It's people. A large part of it is people that are trying to justify their actions by religion. Let me tell you something very plainly, that religion is man-made. Christianity comes from God. And there's a big difference. Now, the world as a whole would say that that's one and the same, but I submit to you this morning it's not, because there's many, many religious people in the world that are as lost as a goose in a hailstorm and are on the road straight to hell, because religion will never get you in the presence of God. Only Christ can do that. So, when we look at it like that, and the scripture says, believe not every spirit. So, everyone that comes with these ideas in the world that we see in the news every day and scattered all over, believe not all of those. But try the spirits. Try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How do we try the spirits? Well, He's going to tell us. And it should be a process. You know, everything that we do, that we're confronted with from being a pastor and counseling and stuff like that, if you come to me and ask me what I think, I am going to do the best that I can to tell you what God says. And if you've come to me in the past, you will know that what I say, excuse me, is let's see what God says about it. Because it doesn't really matter what I think. What matters is what God says. And so in your process of weighing good and evil and what should I do, what should I not do, seek God's guidance. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. Bounce things that are going on in your life, the thought process you have about against what God says in His Word. Now, I want to say this right here. Why is it important that we read and study God's Word? Because if you don't know God's Word, you don't know what He's telling you to do. Because He has truly given us the ruling guide of our life, and it's the Holy Bible. But if we never read it, if we never study it, then we're not letting God speak to us. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Now, this gets into some stuff that I preached not too long ago, and it just is what it is, but here's how we know the Spirit of God. We are looking for the Spirit of God Almighty, the Creator, the Father of our Father in heaven, God Almighty. We're looking for His Spirit. Here's how we know it. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh because of God. Now, we could spend a whole sermon just talking about this. You look at all the things that are going in and around in the world today. I think about Judaism. Okay? Think about Judaism, the Jews. Orthodox Jews are still looking for the Messiah to come. Now, they were God's chosen. Go back and read in the Old Testament. Abraham, the covenant. They were God's chosen. They rejected Jesus Christ. Judaism, in its form today, is a false religion because they haven't accepted Jesus Christ. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Judaism does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They are not of God. What about Buddhism? I could go down a big list. Mormonism. Islam. I mean, they don't profess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He's come in the flesh as God. Some of them confess that He has been here in history and that He was a prophet, but not that He was the Son of God. You see, there's a big difference in saying, oh yeah, Jesus was here, and saying and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, He is the Messiah. So when you bounce these thoughts and these teachings of these various religious groups off of this one scripture, you'll have to say that they're not of God. The Bible tells us to stay away from them and not even wish them Godspeed or good luck. Have you ever thought about that? You know, when someone of a religion that's teaching falsehoods comes and you say, well, God bless you. Boy, I don't pray that God bless them. I pray that God would teach them the truth. Then He'd bless them. Because I don't want people teaching falsehoods out there to a lost and dying world. Amen? It's kind of like the saying I've heard so many times, people say, oh, it don't matter where you go to church as long as you go. Let me tell you something. It does matter. Because what you're being taught matters. Amen. Hereby I know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit. If every spirit that comes does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God, is what it's saying. And don't wish them good luck, Godspeed. Tell them that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. Verse 3 goes right into that. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Listen, this was written a couple thousand years ago. The spirit of Antichrist was in the world then. 2,000 some odd years have passed. We are living, I believe, in the last of the last days. The spirit of Antichrist is strong in the world today. And just think about the things that go on in this nation that we live in. Quote, Christian nation, it has been. Some say it's not anymore. But it's okay to be anything but a Christian in this nation. That's the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist now already is in the world. We're battling a big fight. We fight it on every corner. We talk about the sins that God says are sins in the Bible, and the world looks down on us and say that you're narrow-minded and you're bigoted and you're haters, when in all reality, we are telling the truth from God's Word because we love them. And if we don't have the strength and the fortitude to tell them the truth, they don't stand a chance of getting in the presence of God, because there's only one way to get there. So try the spirits. It gets overwhelming sometimes, does it not? Look at all the things that are going on in our nation, and just think about your friends. Just think about your friends and the things that they're accepting and the things that's been shoved down their throat and what they've been taught. You might be the only hope they have of knowing a true and living God in spirit and in truth. Kind of heavy, right? Kind of gets to be a little heavy. Here's the truth of the matter, though. If you're a born-again believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God has moved in you and taken up residence, and greater is He that's in you than He's in His world. You see, if we're not careful, we look at the condition of the world and even the condition of a lot of churches in the world today that have stood on the truth at one time and maybe have strayed. And we think that Satan might be winning. Let me tell you something. Satan has already lost. God has already defeated Satan. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Well, why does God allow Satan to have this influence? God has always had a plan. And God's plan has always been that you have a choice to serve Him or to serve Satan. And I want to tell you something, friend. There's no middle of the road. The Bible tells us you cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't have two masters. You will serve one and hate the other. So who are we serving? Well, in the world that we live in today, the world makes it harder and harder to show and serve God openly, because we're ridiculed and people look on us as some kind of throwback or whatever word you want to use there. But I got news for them. Greater is He that's in me. And when I talk about Jesus to people in this world, lost, and those that are out of church, and those that are living a life of sin that are born again believers, I talk with the power of God, because greater is He that's in me. And it don't matter if you don't like what He says or not. It's still God's Word. Amen. And when we, as born-again believers, tell people God's Word, we are telling them in the power of God. Greater is He. Greater is He that's in me. You know, as a thinking about this as we, as I was preparing, and you know, when you say that greater is He that's in me, that encompasses everything. It encompasses the teachings of all the false religions we've been talking about, but it also encompasses death. You know, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. I got news for you, friend, and whether you know it or not, the mortality rate of human beings is 100%. All of us are going to die. If Jesus don't come back first, this body's going in the ground. And even if Jesus comes back, this old flesh body's got to die, and I'm getting a new one. Changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, called up to be. This body, this old sinful body, this body that hurts and has aches and pains, it has to go back to this sinful earth and get a new one. So greater is He that is in me than sickness. Because if I know Jesus, I'm healed. Because I'll never see a death. Never be separated from God. Greater is He that's in me. Because someday, when this old body's placed in the ground and goes back to dust, and Jesus does come back, He's going to come and the trump is going to sound, and this old body's going to be raised up incorruptible to be reunited with my spirit. Greater is He that is in me, because He has power over death, hell, and the grave. You see, there's no power greater than God. And there's only one way to get to Him, and that's through Jesus Christ, who He raised from the dead and who lives right now, sitting on the right hand of the Father. He hears our prayers. He hears our petitions. He sees our needs, and He communicates them to God, His Father, our Father. Because of what Jesus done, if we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we are joint heirs with Him, and we will rule and reign while He reigns this earth with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Could be quicker than you think. We were talking to some friends the other day, and I truly believe from the bottom of my heart that Jesus could come back at any time. You know, I believe that the last days are the days of the church, but I believe in my heart that we are living in the last of the last days. That Jesus could be coming back at any time. Just open your eyes and look at the prophecies. But I know that God's in control. And I know that greater is He. Greater is He than anything that I come up against, that any teaching that's out there, that anything that happens in this world. Spirit of God equals freedom and choice. Freedom from the penalty of sin. Freedom to choose righteousness. Spirit of Satan equals darkness and chaos. Folk, don't kid yourself. You cannot defeat Satan except you invoke the power of God. If you're trying to battle Satan on your own, you are going to lose. Jesus told him when he was being tempted, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And Satan had to get behind him because he had the power. This old life's hard. If we let it, it can get us down. It can keep us down, and it'll kick us a few times in the ribs while it's got us down. But if we invoke the power of God, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Man, it's liberating to know that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Satan, you can't have my soul because I gave it to Jesus so many years ago. And He's keeping it safe and secure. And no matter what you do to me in this life, no matter what I have to go through, it's just preparation for eternity. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Listen, friend. I know that this life can be hard, and I know that Satan can put great burdens upon us. I want you to know something this morning. God never tempts you to sin. So if you're tempted to do something that goes against God's Word, know this. Try the Spirit. That Spirit, that temptation comes from Satan. And I know this, friend, God will never put more on you than you can bear. So if your load is heavy and it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, seek God and His power, and He'll give you hope. He is the only hope we have. Sometimes it takes a little while, I think, whenever we're faced with problems to maybe we have to go through a process of a little bit of self-pity or, you know, why is this happening to me? But we need, as soon as possible, to get back to the point of, God, help me through. Show me what You want me to have through this. Because after all, this is just preparation for eternity. You keep saying that, preacher. Well, it's true. This life, this old world, don't last forever. But God does. And so do you. So how we look at the things that happen to us helps us to be able to give God the honor and the glory for everything. Why do bad things happen to good people? You've heard me say this before. The true question is, why do good things happen to bad people? Because the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't deserve any good. But God loves us and He blesses us. He's blessed us with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with families. He's blessed us with a church that's committed to preaching and teaching the truth, that's committed to loving each and every one of us and lifting us up. Listen, Jesus loves you. Your church loves you. God, who gave you everything that you have and are, loves you, and He keeps you safe and secure. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to be worried. You need to be concerned. I pray that the Spirit would convict you, that you would know in your heart that you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, we talked a little bit about this morning in class. Except the Spirit draw you into salvation, you can't be saved. You can't just wake up one morning and say, I want to be saved today. The Spirit of God has to draw you. And it's hard to explain that drawing. But as was stated in class this morning, if you've been through it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've been drawn and if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't have to explain that to you. You can go right back to it. If you can't, you need to examine your salvation. Do you know Jesus? That's where hope comes from. That's where our blessings come from. That's where our strength comes from. Greater is He that's in me. Because when I accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who's as much God as God the Father and God the Son, moved right in here and took up residence. This world can't do nothing to me but send me to heaven quicker. That's it. What do we have to worry about? Nothing. If we know Jesus. Sometimes I have to remind myself. Listen, if you're going through a hard time, if this old life has got you weighted down, if trials come in your way, remember that greater is He than anything in this world. Seek Jesus, and He'll draw near to you. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I want you to stand with me for a word of prayer. I don't know what you need other than Jesus. But I do know that whatever it is, that it only starts with Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for the assurance in your word that you're greater than all that comes our way. As I look back to Lot, Lord, and he had everything, and he lost everything, and then you blessed him again because of his faith, Lord. He knew where his strength came from, and he never lost faith. And Lord, I pray that we be strong and that we be resilient to the things that come on us in this world, and that we would serve you every day. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be better today than I was yesterday, because this truly is a walk, a journey to become who you would have us to be. Help us, Lord, as we go through this journey, that we would seek you and seek your guidance in everything that we do. Lord, if there's any here amongst us this morning that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray that the Spirit would convict and that they would take that step, that first step, and that they would accept you before it's eternally too late. Lord, maybe there's some here this morning that are dealing with some heavy issues, whatever it might be, Lord. You know their hearts. You know their conditions. I pray that they would just give it to you and that you would deal with them in the manner that you would see fit. Lord, I always pray that everything that we do would be in your will, in accordance to your will in our life, for your honor and glory. I thank you for Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.
Page 190.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling. Do you hear him calling? Can you feel the drawing? This old song, and it's true of saved and unsaved. Jesus is calling. Well, you know, if you're saved, born again believer, you're never going to be lost, but you can get off the beaten path. You can get off the straight and narrow, and you can be off over there and wandering around in darkness, and the Spirit of God will call to you to bring you back to where you need to be. You see, God never left you. Maybe you left him. And he's calling you back. And all you have to do is repent and move back to where you left God. But the song and the words apply to the lost as well, because he's calling you. Jesus Christ died for you. All you have to do is come to him. He is the way. He's the gate. He's the portal to get to God. Listen to the Spirit of God calling you for whatever it is. Don't put him off. I submit to you, I believe that time is short. Jesus could come back as we're speaking right now. You may not ever have another opportunity to get your heart right with God. If he don't come back right now, you may not make it home. We're not guaranteed the next breath, the next heartbeat. Man, you know, I can't think of a better way to go than for my heart just to stop beating while I'm preaching the Word of God. And if that happens someday, thank God for me. I'll thank him when I get there. But don't put it off, because you may not get another chance as we sing another word.
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn you away.
Well, thank you for getting out on this old dreary day, and invite you to come back tonight and Wednesday night. And we're having some good studies, so I encourage you to come and take part in God's Bible studies. I love Wednesday night. It's a really good study. I encourage you to come. Anything else?